You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
You never forget the one who steals your heart. Or the one who kicks your ass.
Some fishy shit is happening on our beach. And my balls say we need to go over there and check it out.
It's a bad idea, Mitch. We're lifeguards.
My balls say,
you should just take it easy, Ryan.
Well, my balls are saying, fuck that noise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Epic Film Guy Cinema Beat Minisode. And this time, Justin, we are talking about bikini bodies, shirtless men, and whatever the hell else you do on a weekly basis.
I mean, there's a lot to see in this movie, but yet not a lot to think about after you watch it. So that's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about Baywatch, the new live-action adaption. That's right, that's for you, Dan, Director Brennick. Live-action adaptation.
There he is.
The new movie version based on the original 1990s television series, which I myself watched on a weekly basis with my grandparents, mind you. Every single week, I looked forward to watching Pamela Anderson in that red bathing suit running in slow-mo up and down the beach. I mean, everyone loved it. And the women loved the Hoff, Hasselhoff. I mean, it was a show that we all enjoyed in the 90s, but as Nick and I have talked about previous to this review many, many times, it's not like the show was amazing. It's good. Not like the show was...
You could just say good, because it wasn't even good.
I mean, I liked it. I liked it. I mean, we're talking about the 90s, ladies and gentlemen. There was a lot of shows that came out during that time period that were just fluff, as we like to call it. But hey... So Nick and I both had the opportunity to see Baywatch, or I don't know if it's a displeasure to Nick or not, but I will say for myself, we're going to start off. It is a kind of a weak, strange adaptation of the original show. Seth Gordon, known for Horrible Bosses, directed this thing, and it is kind of loosely based on the television series. The film stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Zac Efron, Alexandra Daddario, which is Loy Sauce's absolute favorite.
You stay the fuck away from her, Loy Sauce.
I know, man. Well, there's a lot of guys that are be after her after this movie. Nick, let's throw it to you, man. Let's just get right into it here. What are your initial? What were your initial thoughts on Baywatch?
man. The only reaction that I had heard to this film before I went to see it from anybody that I know, from any of my peers, anybody, was from Paul from The Countdown, who called it the worst fucking movie of the year.
That's correct. He mentioned that on the live stream for The Cure more than once. He made sure to tell us more than once. Like,
yeah. So, unfortunately, that's the only thing that I went into this film with. But as Justin said, I was a fan of the television show back in the 90s. Now, I will say this at the onset about the TV show. It was really, really, really dumb. And it featured plots about lifeguards doing shit that lifeguards never do. And it was a lot of the time an excuse to have really sexy people run up and down the beach toward a camera in slow motion so you could see all of their most titillating parts bouncing around. That's really, really, I can't say it more than that. That was all this show was. And I think in that respect, just in that respect, we got a lot to talk about with this movie, but in that respect, I think it nailed it 150%. I think literally, like, it's got a fucking really stupid plot, like really inanely stupid plot. It's got a ton of shots of sexy characters running at the camera. And it's meant to kind of get you all hot and bothered and get you to be like, wow, these are some really sexy, beautiful people. Not just the women, but the men, too, because you got The Rock and you've got Zac Efron in this, who has like 17,000 abs. And what this film decided to do is it decided to kind of delve into self-parody a lot, where they made fun of the whole idea of Baywatch. And I think those were the film's strengths. I think whenever they really stuck their tongues firmly in their cheeks and decided to make fun of Baywatch and make fun of themselves. They know how silly and stupid this whole thing is. Those were the parts of the film that worked the best. everything else about the film outside of the cast, I loved the cast, we'll talk about them, but everything else was insanely fucking try hard. It really, really felt like this movie was trying so hard to be funny, and it was so noticeable that it took you out of it.
But Nick, where were the jokes, bro? What, since when is like a dick a joke? Since when are a woman's breasts a joke? So why is that modern comedy? Why did modern comedy become looking at women's breasts or their ass or a dude's dick stuck in a beach bench? When did that become a joke? Like where that's the actual joke? I mean, it just, to me, I mean, I feel like modern comedy has lost the essence of the joke, the quote unquote joke. Going into this, Nick, I just wanted to have some fun. I mean, no one is ever looking at the original Baywatch show as a masterpiece of a show
amazing.
It had some pretty looking people. It had the Hoff, which I love to death. And it had CJ and Pamela Anderson, which was like the huge 90s crush for most dudes at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the main thing is I wasn't walking into this thinking that this is going to be like the best comedy of the year, the best thing ever. I think if anything, Nick, that I'm having an issue with the way that the direction comedies are going in modern day cinema with, you know, the fact that Seth Gordon was behind this, who did Horrible Bosses, which I also really enjoyed a lot. I was like, okay, I'll be like, it'll be fine. It'll be funny. But you know, I walked away from this movie, and as Loy Saw said, not even the might of Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron could save this thing. I mean, for me, I literally chuckled maybe four or five times. At no part during the film did I fall on the ground laughing with tears rolling through my eyes. Even Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, a film you hated that for me. So in this case, Baywatch for me, outside of a couple interesting moments, a couple cool action-oriented scenes, which we'll get to its tone in a little bit, I felt like the film failed.
But the problem with this film is it's really a tale of two films. I mentioned before, you know, I'll be 100% honest, this felt like a long form episode of the original TV show with some Baywatch Nights mixed into it. If you remember that shitty spinoff.
Wasn't that just Hasselhoff though?
Hasselhoff. Yep.
That's right, he became
like a private eye at night and shit. Oh my God. Seriously, everything that was in this, and I, like I said, when they decided to delve into self-parody and when they decided to poke fun at what Baywatch was, those were the times I had the most fun. Like, there's a scene in the film, or very early in the film, when they're all eating lunch and they're poking fun at some of their prior cases, and they're mentioning all these ridiculous different things that they've investigated that have happened, and they're all plots from the old fucking TV show.
Like, yeah, that's right.
That's how ridiculous Baywatch was. I mean, so when you see like a bunch of lifeguards trying to solve this mystery of this drug smuggling fucking bullshit and everything like that, like, I didn't have any problem with any of that. I did have a problem, however, like I said, you take that self-parody aspect and you take this 21 Jump Street, you know, they're going to kind of pump some octane into it. They're going to try to play everything up for laughs. You try to smash those things together and it just doesn't work. Oh, why don't you call me on the shell phone, Justin? Like, literally, that's the kind of humor you get in this film.
And that was like, that was a joke that ran through the film a number of times. And that's one thing that's going to be a problem that I had, because a lot of the jokes were like so overdone. How many times am I going to hear The Rock call Zac Efron High School Musical, which, by the way, that one got me. I did like that one. But then it's like Bieber, Jonas Brothers,
One Direction.
There were a couple others. And I'm like, okay, I get it. He's a pretty boy. It's fine. And you know, aside from that, there's so many jokes that are just thrown at you over and over again. I'm like, dude, I heard this 40 minutes ago. Why are you throwing this at me again?
Yep. There's a fight. It's in one of the trailers, but there's a fight between The Rock and one of the goons in like a baby's room.
Baby's bedroom. Yeah.
Like, they're trying to play it up for laughs like a couple of times. And like, initially you're
baby
like,
powder.
Okay. This is pretty funny. But then it just keeps going and going and going.
Then he sticks his head in a diaper bin.
A diaper genie. Yeah.
And then he throws him into a pool. And there's a lot of things that could have been great, Nick. That's where my problems lie in this. But let's move on right now. Let's get right to the cast, because we just touched on that a little bit. Let's start with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. This guy is just known for oozing charisma in everything he does.
I love
literally, I feel like studios are just putting him in every single thing they can because they know it means dollar signs. You can tell he had a lot of fun doing this. I'm not hating him for doing it.
That's one thing that I would say about the set of this film and the entire way through the movie. I at least could tell that they had a blast making it.
Oh, of course. They definitely
had a blast making this movie, even if it doesn't necessarily translate into the best final product on the screen.
Dwayne, I think he did as good of a job as he possibly could in the film. I feel like he held it up on his gigantic delts as hard as he possibly could as he's lifting it himself through the film. But I also think that Efron carried his fair share of the load here. What did you think about Efron in the film?
I loved Efron. I really, it's like you said before, the dude's definitely got chops, and I do really, really like him. And I think the chemistry between he and The Rock is one of the things that ends up saving at least a point a final rating for this film.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things that keeps it from delving into complete and total trash. You know, where they do play very, very well off of one another. And you know, they kind of put him in this ridiculous kind of party boy, doesn't give a shit about anything.
It's the same character he plays in everything. He's already played that character in both of the Neighbors films. You know, it's why I feel bad for him. I'm like, dude, this guy deserves better than this. And he keeps getting pigeonholed into the same types of roles. But all right, let's move on because we all know he's good in it, except for the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, Zac Efron was so unhealthy in this movie. He looked like 4% fucking body fat. I don't know why if the studio pressured him to be like that, but there's a scene in the film where he's supposed to be training for Baywatch and he's doing like this American Ninja Warrior type thing. And dude, he looks bad. He just looks like he's so low on body fat and energy that he looks like he's going to fall over and pass out. Who knows who made him do that? But the cool thing about his name in the film, I'm not sure if you picked up on this, Nick, or not, but he is Matt Brody.
Yep.
And at one point he becomes Lieutenant Brody, which is a throwback to Jaws. So I was like, oh, hey, man, at least I didn't throw any Jaws jokes in there. But I was like, hey, man, I kept poking loy sauce in the ribs. I'm like, dude, Brody. But hey, man, let's talk about the elephant in the room, dude. Alexandra Daddario. Come on, dude. She's a beautiful specimen. She had very little to do in the movie, but what did you think about what she did?
I want to mention all of the female lifeguards kind of in one breath before break off on that.
Why not?
But you've got Kelly Rohrbach, who has to step into both the shoes and the swimsuit of Pamela Anderson. She's playing CJ Parker in it. And you've got Ilfanish Adera as Stephanie in the film. And I think one of the great things that this film did is it didn't just make the female characters eye candy. Of course they are, and we'll talk about that, but they're also pretty well realized and pretty capable characters in their own right. Like, they're not just, you know, a waste of space. Like, they're very competent lifeguards. They're very good at what they do, you know? And I think that's definitely to the film's credit. It doesn't just throw sexy people in scantily clad bathing suits or outfits at you just to, you know, try to give you a boner.
At least not 100% of the time.
At least not 100%.
Just 95% of the time.
If they would have just made them, you know, like they did absolutely nothing in the film and that's all they did, then I would have had more of a problem with it. But, you know, just in terms of Daddario, I think she was good in the film. I do like Alexandra Daddario a lot. Fuck you, loy sauce. you know, I think that the chemistry between her and Efron, because that was who they played her off of the most, I think it was good enough anyway. I think of all of the cast, except for maybe Ilfanish, I just don't think she had enough to do.
She had absolutely nothing to do. That was one thing that both Loy Sauce and I immediately commented on as we were leaving the film, is she was completely wasted. But let's just move on directly to Priyanka Chopra, if I'm saying her name correctly, who played the Victoria Leeds, a.k.a. the fucking shitty ass piece of garbage villain in this thing, who is the weakest villain I've seen so far this year. And I've seen some movies. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this villain was just sorely unrealized and so weak. And I'm like, I don't even understand her motivations. This is like literally taking from the playbook of like Beverly Hills Cop 3. Let's just take a beautiful looking person and have her show some cleavage and give her like at least 20 minutes of screen time and have her be the most generic garbage villain with, you know, it's another drug cartel. How racist are we going to get here? But I mean, in reality, that's the way that these movies are a little bit.
She was like a really sexy Lex Luthor She tried to do this real estate scheme, and I was just like, I just laughed pretty much every time she was on the screen.
The way that I looked at it, though,
over the top.
I love Miami Vice, and this is the equivalent of the shittiest of the shitty Miami Vice villains in like the fourth and fifth seasons of that show, which when they were getting really, really bad, they had no idea. So I get that. I feel like people that go to see this movie and see movies like this, they don't really care about that. But the main problem that I had with this film as we move on to our major thoughts on the film and our issues with it is I didn't laugh all that much, Nick. I wish that I did. There were a couple of sequences in the film that I thought that were pretty impressive, but this film didn't really know what it wanted to be. Did it want to be an action slash comedy movie like a Beverly Hills Cop? Or did it want to be like this really gross out, weird, raunchy comedy movie with a couple of action sequences? I didn't get the feeling that it knew what it wanted to be. We open the film, and one of the major jokes is one of the people trying out for the new Baywatch team gets his dick and balls stuck in a fucking, you know, whatever, a beach chair.
Yeah, beach chair or something,
and,
yeah.
And a whole crowd of people on the beach surrounds him as they're trying to pull his hard dick and balls out of the thing. And mind you, he's overweight, he's chubby, he's the unattractive one that's trying to try out, and he's horny because CJ is looking at him and he sees her nice large breasts bouncing around on the beach. It would have made well, Nick, for me as a joke. It would have made well if it was shortened and well put together, but it just went on for way too long. Like the joke halfway through the sequence, I was like, all right, I got it, dude. It's taken way too long. I feel like that was like how every joke in the movie was.
That is how every joke in the movie was. It wasn't you exaggerating. And aside from that scene, though, and I'll give you that with that scene, I did feel like that was drawn out way, way too long. But other than that, I really liked John Bass as Ronnie. He's kind of, if you think about
it. He was good. He was good. Yeah. He was good.
He essentially plays every kind of horny Baywatch fanboy from the 90s who had pictures of Pamela Anderson, of Nicole Ryder, Carmen Electra, all those Baywatch, you know, lifeguards on the wall. And I think he had a really good chemistry with Kelly Rohrbach, who is just fucking drop dead gorgeous in this movie. Jesus Christ. And, you know, he kind of stole the scene for me in a few scenes. And I really liked that it went.
Let's talk about real quick, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
The shower scene. The shower scene was great. He's in there. He's singing Katy Perry.
Yeah.
I loved that scene. He's in there singing it with the soap in his hand.
And I loved the dance scene too.
I did chuckle a little bit at that, but I feel like, though, a lot of the stuff we saw in this film, Nick, we've already seen in everything else. Like nothing in this film was new, but I will give it this much. Okay. This is a scene that I laughed a little bit at. It's probably the scene that I laughed the most at throughout the whole film, the morgue sequence. I honestly, because you know what, ladies and gentlemen, our listeners out there, you don't see a dick very often in any comedy movie or any movie at all. A major motion picture very ever really shows a dick, and you saw a dick and balls a lot. And you saw Zac Efron lifting those dick and balls, and then he mentions the dude as a taint, and then you see. Then you see Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character, Mitch, pull out a phone, and he's like literally videoing Efron's character, Brody's character, lifting.
See, that was one of those scenes, and I was like, most of the scenes in this film didn't benefit from it, but that was one of those scenes that really benefited from being drawn out. It really worked better the further you got into it, because Efron's character, like the way that he played Brody was just a little bit further over the top and a little bit further.
Yeah, he was
over
definitely
the top,
over the top.
Where he was like his reactions to it. And like the whole time The Rock is just like cool as a cucumber. And then it's in the Red Band trailer that they show that, but he slowly picks up the phone and takes the picture.
It's a detriment to, I feel like the chemistry they did have, that they did get the must strap on the set.
Yeah.
You know, aside from Gordon's misdirection, I liked the cast. I like what they did with a lot of the stuff they had to do. But make no mistake, I walked out of this movie hugely disappointed with the outcome. That's at least my feelings on the movie. That was one of that joke there in the morgue was one of the best things that I experienced throughout the film. But it just goes to show, like,
no,
they
there's
couldn't,
there's one they, other thing. There's one
for
other
you?
Thing
okay,
that
let's
I
hear
know.
It. Let's hear it. Let's
that
hear it.
I know you loved as much as I fucking loved it, and I won't ruin it totally for people that want to see it. But it's the fucking Hoff's cameo. because
you're wrong, bro. You're wrong.
I can't even fucking believe that you would dislike
you're
that.
Wrong. You're wrong.
I died laughing that the movie decided to go like insanely meta, and it just decided to go so over the line of self parody.
Well, it was just poking fun back at itself.
Like that was kind of the thing for me that really worked about it. And like they play the theme song from the original fucking Baywatch. Like I died. I fucking died.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I felt like it was completely out of place during a scene in the movie that felt like it shouldn't be there. And I felt like any interjection or any injection of the original cast in this movie was completely wasted. Don't even get me into Pam Anderson's cameo, which we're not even going to spoil because there's nothing to spoil. She does absolutely fucking nothing in the movie. I'm like, you didn't even need either of them in the movie.
I felt like the film was just aiming for a level of self-parody where the joke of the Hoff's cameo actually being, you know, Mitch from Baywatch in the movie, like it made sense to me because they were going for that level of self-parody.
I get it. I enjoyed his post-credit scene more than
that. The post-credit scene was fucking hilarious too. Like they did that spoof Corona commercial or whatever.
I loved that. But you know, for me, walking out of this thing, I just thought, you know, with a way better script, with something that like a fucking 15-year-old could write, you know, and better direction.
Hey man, give 15-year-olds more credit than that. Come on.
Okay. Maybe a third. My daughter's in the other room. So, but I mean, the reality is, it's what I walked into when I want to watch this movie is very simple. I just want to be entertained. I just want to laugh. I don't care if it's raunchy. I want that. Give me that. It's Baywatch. I know what I'm going into. It's 2017, people. I know exactly what I'm expecting from this movie. I know that just saying the word dick is a joke. I know just seeing a pussy is a joke. I get it. It's just simple.
For whatever reason, and I'll give my final rating now, and then I'll pitch it back over to you. But when I sat down to the theater and I got into it, like the first, you know, few scenes and whatever, I saw what they were going for. I saw that they were kind of aiming for that self-parody aspect. So many shots of people running in slow-mo that they were then kind of, you know, poking fun at. And I love the scene at the end where they're running down the beach and they're in slow-mo. And then Zac Efron's character trips and he's like, oh, fuck.
I did like that.
I laughed my ass off at it. I thought it was hilarious. So I didn't give this a positive rating. I'm going to stamp a 5 out of 10 on it. It's my highest negative rating. I still think if you're somebody who really, really loved the show, and if you're somebody that really kind of wants to just see a high octane version of the show where it's just this dumb, you know, it's just dumb. And that's what I went into it hoping it would be. And that's what it was. So I kind of, it met my expectations. That's kind of why I was happier overall with it. I think it wasn't the funniest movie. It's way too try hard. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in it that's just like, oh my God, this is taking forever. But it does enough right by the original show. And, I mean, come on. Daddario and Rohrbach are just drop-dead gorgeous in this movie. And, like, just watching them for those 2 hours was like, yep. This takes me right back to being a teenager watching the original show in syndication. And, you know, you've got Pamela Anderson running up to be, or whatever. Took me right back to that. So I kind of connected that back in my head. So yeah, that's it. 5 out of 10 for me. I did do a written review of this, Justin, actually, but I didn't tell you about it and I didn't publish it. I'll publish it later as soon as we're done here. But yeah, that's what I got. 5 out of 10.
Well, like I said, I walked into this movie with no major expectations. We've seen the trailers. We know what it's all about. It's a new adaptation. That's there for you, Director Brennick. Adaptation based on the original television series, which was never great. We know why we loved it. But, you know, I still walked away being really disappointed about it because it just did not gel. It could have been really good. And those 21 Jump Street movies, you know, you kind of want to rip them off as much as possible, but those showed you could take a concept that was a very cheesy 80s or 90s or whatever TV show and make it into a good, great comedy film of a great team filled with great actors and, you know, make something worthwhile. And in this case, Baywatch just completely failed for me. But unfortunately, this is strange because I'm going to give it a very similar rating to Nick. It's a 5 out of 10 for me. I didn't hate it. I just walked out of it being like, eh, I watched it. Like I walked into it not expecting a great movie. And what I walked out with is something that I chuckled a few times at. And there were a couple of scenes where I legit laughed. And, you know, I give Efron credit. I'm going to give Dwayne The Rock Johnson credit. Alexandra Daddario, her eyes are beautiful. And there were some cool sequences where it looked cool. But overall, I walked out saying, hey, that was stupid. It wasn't a good movie. But you know what? I'll tell you this much. I'm glad that I'm watching this instead of the new Pirates movie. So yeah. That's fine with me. Hey, at least I got to see bouncing an ass. My kid's in here. So, you know, at least I had some kind of eye candy to enjoy while I'm watching it. I liked the original Baywatch show. Whatever. It's not going to make enough to warrant a sequel. Leave it as it is. So for me, it's a 5 out of 10. 5 out of 10 for you. And, you know, you like to call stuff trash and garbage, Nick, when you give it a 5 or a 4 out of 10, when even though you still like parts out of it. So even your ratings are strange.
I'll say for you know, if you want to just look at the movie, like, overall, yeah, it's garbage. Especially if you're not somebody who at all watched or enjoyed the original show, even for as shitty as it was. Like, if you walk into it without that, you're not going to like this movie whatsoever.
Well, if think you about have it, though.
Enough, and I always give you shit about it, and I know there's probably at least a point or two in this that's playing off of the nostalgia. But like I said, I loved that aspect that they not only paid homage to what came before, but then they also delved into self-parody and made fun of it. And I loved that they just pointed out how stupid Baywatch is, and I just wish the rest of the script had been smart enough to kind of keep pace with that. You know, I got to tell you this much.
I can agree with you in one scene before we wrap up this mini-sode review for all you listeners out there that I really enjoyed, that I loved the shit out of, is when they're all sitting there and they're all having lunch and Ronnie orders a salad.
Yeah.
All right. And all the rest of them are eating like nachos or burritos
just junk
burgers and junk.
Alexander DiGiorgio, like, I think, is eating like a huge thing of chicken parm or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. It's spaghetti with spaghetti. And he's like, I thought I had to eat like this to look like you guys. And no one answers. And he says it like twice. And I laughed at that. And I'm like, because before he even said anything, I reached over to Loy Sauce and I said, there's no way they could eat that to look like that. And then he said the line. And I was like, you got me, dude. It's so funny.
Yep.
But I'm going to go back to this. And as far as making actors and actresses looking unhealthy in Hollywood, there was no reason why Zac Efron needed to be 4% body fat Hollywood. Seriously. And this is not me joking around. He looked horrible. He looked unhealthy. That is the body weight of someone that's going to jump on stage to perform at a bodybuilding competition. He was like literally 4 or 3% body fat.
I don't get it at all either.
Dude, there were scenes where he was just standing there next to The Rock shirtless, and you could see the striations on his shoulders, his deltoids. And, dude, just going out there and saying it, that's not healthy. You shouldn't be seeing that from an actor that's – so, I mean, you never know. I don't know if he just felt pressure to look that good because of his image as Zac Efron, or if the studio told him that was a stipulation to his contract. I just felt bad for him because he just looked bad in the movie. He just looked so unhealthy. Yeah. But – Efron, get some more good scripts, man. Get something worthwhile because you have chops, dude. You're good.
All right. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, our mini-sode review of Baywatch. Let us know what you thought of the movie besides Paul. We already know Paul thinks it's a 1 out of 10, like the worst fucking movie of the year. Like I said, I found at least something redeeming out of it. But
there was at least something. I mean, come on. At least something. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's Baywatch, dude.
It still wasn't as bad as Live by Night, so...
I still need to see that. You know, just Nick. I'm gonna go buy the Ultra 4K HD $30 version of it to watch it.
And you're gonna be so just pissed off by the time you're done watching it, you'll fucking snap it in half because it's so fucking bad.
I'll make sure to send you the digital code via Facebook Messenger.
Please do. I promise I'll watch the shit out of it. But yeah, let us know what you think. Jump over on Facebook. I'm gonna post my written review, pretty much as soon as we're done recording this, because that's already finished. I'll get that up. And yeah, just let us know what you thought. In the meantime, stay tuned this coming Thursday, June the 1st, for episode 100 of the Epic Film Guys podcast.
100.
Ooh, yeah. But like I said, I didn't want to do anything with a lot of fanfare or anything like that. I thought about it in the weeks leading up to it, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to do something low-key. I've actually had this idea for quite a long time, and I'm actually about halfway through putting it together right now, and I'm kind of liking how it sounds. I'm kind of liking the way that it flows, so... Yeah, like I said, thank you very, very, very much, everybody out there, for listening. And
we will see you at the movies.